fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to the 343rd episode of the 4th and 24 podcast with Patrick Winograd. I'm your host, Patrick Winograd. In this edition, our topics are a review of my weekend predictions, our weekly look at the NBA, and a recap of the past week in college basketball. So let's jump right in to look back at my weekend predictions, starting in college basketball, where I went 1-3. Louisville beat number 22 Miami 92-89. Number 24 Vanderbilt beat number 23 Tennessee 86-82. And BYU beat number 10 Texas Tech 82-76. Those were all games I got wrong. And then number 5 Florida beat Kentucky 84-77. So I got that one right. And then the NBA, I evened out the overall record by going 3-1. The Nuggets beat the Lakers 120-113. The Warriors beat the Rockets 115-113 in overtime. That was the only game I got wrong this week. And then the Timberwolves beat the Raptors 115-107. And the Spurs beat the Pistons 121-106. And as I mentioned, got all those games correct other than the Warriors game. So overall, 4-4 this week brings me to a 15-02-949 overall record, a 61.3% winning percentage. Honestly, not really many thoughts on this week. I thought it was decent, you know, could have been better, obviously, in college basketball, but really all of those games came down to the final few possessions. I mean, if we're talking about teams getting one or two stops and that being the difference in the game, I'm not really going to say I could have picked better or done anything different. And then in the NBA, I've been pretty good recently, so I'm pretty happy with those predictions, actually, especially in the NBA and college. Can't really do anything about the crazy end of the game scenarios. All those games are really close. All the way until the end of the game, which means that we can now move on with a quick recap of the NBA. Starting, as always, in the Eastern Conference, the Pistons lead the way at 45-18, even though they have lost four games in a row, though. So they're going through it a little bit right now, but they are still in the lead in the East. Then you have the Celtics at 43-21. They're 8-2 in their last 10, just 2.5 games back of the Pistons, of course. Big news there for really both teams is injuries. Cade Cunningham has missed some time recently, although he's fine, so it's not like this is going to be a long-term issue for the Pistons. I think he actually came back in their last game. But on the other side, Jason Tatum, of course, has played two games over the weekend, and Celtics won both games. I mean, I don't think Tatum was anything spectacular in either of the games, but that's not really the point, right? I mean, I don't think anybody expects him to be this early on in that injury rehab, so he's not even supposed to be playing. So I think they're just happy to have him back out there as a threat, regardless of how he ends up playing. And if he ends up playing well by the end of the season, then this team gets a lot scarier. But good for the Celtics so far, just 2.5 back, like I said. Then you have the Knicks. They are 41-25. They're 3 games behind the Celtics for the second seed. They've lost 2 in a row, but still 6-4 in their last 10. So playing decent basketball recently. The Cavs are 40-25, so just a game back in the win column from the Knicks. They're also 6-4 in their last 10. Then you have the Raptors, who are 3 games behind the Cavs. They are 36-27, just 5-5 in their last 10, though. And then two really hot teams in the 6 seed and the 7 seed spot. The Magic at 35-28 have won 4 in a row, and they are 1 game behind the Raptors for the 5th spot. And the Heat are tied with the Magic. They are 36-29 on the season. They've won 5 in a row. So two big winning streaks there, and there's another one I'm coming up soon. But of course, the Magic and the Heat playing so well has knocked the Sixers all the way out of that 6 seed, all the way down to the 8 seed at 34-30. And not too far behind them were the Atlanta Hawks, just 1 game back, and they have won 6 games in a row. So Sixers are really, really in danger of dropping all the way from, kind of that 5th to 6th range, to the 9 seed, where you would play the very first play-in game, which is a big, big deal if you end up that far down there. But the Hawks at 33-31, trending in the right direction. We'll see if they can keep it up for any longer. And then, of course, the Hornets are just a game and a half back of the Hawks. Despite losing their last two, they are still 6-4 in their last 10, and currently own the 10 seed in the East. They are 4 games ahead of the Bucks, who are 27-36. Then you have the Bulls, who are a game and a half back of the Bucks, although they are 2-8 in their last 10, so not really a threat. They're now 5.5 back of Charlotte, trending towards not even being worth mentioning. But they're technically close enough that I have to keep talking about them for now, just in case the Hornets collapse again, and end up down here in the standings with the teams that they started the year with, those being the Nets, the Wizards, and the Pacers. The Nets at 17-47 with 2 wins in a row, but still 2-8 in their last 10. The Wizards at 16-47, having lost 8 in a row, and the Pacers at 15-49, having lost 9 in a row. So pretty bad stuff at the bottom of the East. Then you have the Western Conference, where the Thunder are on top. They're 51-15. So now really reclaiming their lead over everybody else. They're the first team to 50 wins in the league. The Spurs are the closest team to them in terms of overall record, now ahead of the Pistons for the second best overall record in the league. The Thunder have won 6 in a row. The Spurs have won 4 in a row, both of them 9-1 in their last 10. The Spurs just 3 games behind OKC for that 1st seed. And then there's a giant gap between number 2 and number 3. The Timberwolves are currently the 3 seed. They are 40-24, 8-2 in their last 10. A half a game behind them are the Houston Rockets at 39-24. They are 6-4 in their last 10. The Lakers are a half a game behind the Rockets. They've won 2 in a row. They're 6-4 in their last 10. They're 39-25 overall. And yeah, you guessed it. The Nuggets have the 6 seed. They're a half a game behind the Lakers. So just 1.5 games in the standing, separating 3 and 6, despite 7 games of separation between 2 and 3 in the standings in the West. So really interesting, all that stuff, that there's really no separation going on there whatsoever. And then you also have the Suns, who are a factor in this as well. They're only a game and a half back of the Nuggets, which also means that they're only 3 games out of the 3 seed right now. So at 37-27, they could be a factor late in the season, as we get to that point. Then tied for the 8 and the 9 seed, you have the Clippers and the Warriors. The Clippers 6-4 in their last 10. Meanwhile, the Warriors really, really cold. They're 3-7 in their last 10, falling dangerously close to being under 500 on the season. And it looks like they're going to be there by the end of maybe by the end of the week this week. Who knows? But they're a game and a half ahead of the Trailblazers, who are 19.5 back overall, and 7 ahead of the next team in the West. So now the bottom of the West is honestly looking worse than, the Bucks and the Bulls, at least. I mean, the very bottom is definitely worse, but in the East, but still, none of these teams really in contention at all. The Trailblazers, it doesn't feel like they should have locked up a playoff spot, but I mean, virtually, with a 6-game, with a 7-game lead, with only, 17 games left in the season, at 20 at most for some teams, you're not going to lose that lead. It's pretty much impossible. But the Grizzlies, moving on with that part of the standings, they've lost 4 in a row. They are the team that's 7 back at 23-40. The Mavs are 2.5 back at the Grizzlies at 21-43. They've lost 7 in a row. Then you have the Pelicans, who are 21-45. They're just a game back. They are 6-4 in their last 10. The Jazz are a half game behind. So no separation between the Mavs and the Jazz, just like the 3 through 6 seeds, although this one doesn't really matter except for a lottery odd placement. But the Jazz 2-8 in their last 10. It is worth noting that the Pelicans are 6-4 in their last 10, so playing better recently. And then finally at the bottom of the standings, you have the Sacramento Kings, who did have a long losing streak, and are now 3-7 in their last 10. So I guess they deserve some credit for that, but they are definitely at the bottom of the standings. Worst record overall in the league still. But it's been an interesting NBA season. I think it's pretty clear who's going to be in the playoffs at this point, but that doesn't mean it's not worth talking about. But it is worth talking about, of course. I mean, any point in the year, it's worth talking about for me, but especially right now, it's college basketball. It's conference tournament season. Everything is just crazy right now, but we'll go back to Tuesday, start talking with some regular season action, and then move into conference tournaments later. But starting with that top 25 action, Georgia beat number 16 Alabama 98-88. A big win for the Dogs as they try to that one probably ice their tournament, but I think it's pretty obvious that they're going to be in at this point. TCU beat number 10 Texas Tech on the road, 73-65. That win also probably put the Horned Frogs into the tournament too, when you consider what happened later in the week on the bubble, which I'll get to later. Virginia, the number 13 team in the country, staved off Wake Forest 75-70. Number 17 North Carolina beat Clemson 67-63. Number 5 Florida just demolished Mississippi State 108-74, continuing their hot streak. They are scary. I'll talk more about that later, I guess. Number 19 Miami of Ohio beat Toledo 74-72. They are still undefeated. Number 11 Illinois destroyed Oregon 80-54. Arizona State with kind of the weird upset of the week. They beat Kansas 70-60. Just an odd loss for Kansas to take this late into the season when they should be, rounding into, I don't want to say playoff, not championship form, because who knows if they're actually going to contend for a championship, but rounding into solid contender form, tournament form, just better play at the end of the season. Just kind of a really weird loss for them. Arizona State not really haven't really had the ability to beat anybody good this entire season, so it just kind of came out of nowhere, that loss. But regardless, rest of the day you had number 24 Vanderbilt, who beat Ole Miss 89-86 in overtime. A very close win, but Vanderbilt needed that one. And then UCLA beat number 9 Nebraska 72-52. They've been playing pretty well at the end of the season. They pulled off the upset over Illinois recently. And then there's this one as well. So some pretty good upsets for the Bruins. They are definitely going to be in the tournament, and at this point trending towards the single digit seed pretty safely. As long as they don't really do anything horrible in the Big Ten tournament. Then you have number 15 Purdue, the opposite of UCLA. They've looked terrible recently. They barely beat Northwestern 70-66. Really, Northwestern kind of gifted them this game, but Northwestern had led by as many as 11 points in this game and lost. So pretty insane stuff by Purdue. They've been really bad at the end of the season, and there's r really no way to sugarcoat it. Then you have number 20 Arkansas, who beat Texas 105-85. Arkansas's offense, when it's humming, when Darius Aycup is healthy, this team is just ridiculous. At least on the offensive end, they might not be able to stop anybody, but they can play, they can score. That is one thing they do for sure. Then you have number 22, Miami, excuse me, who beat SMU, a bubble team, 77-69. SMU eventually lost 4 in a row. We'll get to what happened over the. Actually, I'll say it now. They lost to Florida State over the weekend. So, pretty bad loss for the Mustangs, as they head into the NCAA tournament. Well, who knows if they'll be in the tournament at this point, but they head into the ACC tournament, just spiraling. They're going to play a Syracuse team that already beat them this year, in the first round later today. So it's an interesting team to monitor, because they are not playing good basketball right about now at all. Then you have number 7, Houston, who beat Baylor 77-64. A good win for the Cougs as they move on, into really they're just focusing on seeding in the Big 12 tournament, but I guess they could technically, maybe they could get a one seed. I don't really think so, but technically there's an outside chance. Then on Thursday, you have number 3 Michigan. Their first game without LJ Kaysen was a road victory over Iowa. Iowa not necessarily needing these games to make the tournament, but they would like to have a signature win, probably just A, for seeding purposes, it would be helpful, and B, for confidence purposes, it would be helpful. They weren't going to get it here, though. They didn't. Then you have number 8, Michigan State, beat Rutgers 91-87. Final score deceivingly close. They were up by a lot more throughout this game. They put the seniors in with like a minute and a half left instead of, I don't know, 20 seconds left, and it really, 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 really ended up affecting the results of that game. It should not have been that close at all. But then, moving on to Friday action, of course, some big games in conference tournaments. Drake beat Belmont 100-79, the first massive upset of March. It's interesting because we'll talk about it more later in the week, but pretty much none of none of the one seeds in the conference tournaments, not projected one seeds overall, obviously, but they haven't won. So it's a really weird year where it felt like the mid-majors actually had some teams that could win a game or two, like Belmont. Talk about who ended up coming out of the MVC later, but teams like Belmont felt like they could win a game. They lost. A lot of other examples of this later in the podcast that we'll get to. So kind of interesting, because I think this year was going to be a little bit upset, not upset heavy, but back to the normal in terms of at least first round upsets. It will be chalky later, and I still believe that. But in terms of the first round, I don't have supreme confidence in the 5 seeds this year, or even the 4 seeds. So you never know what could happen. But it's kind of a shame that these teams instead have lost. So it's not even possible for us to get. Well, it's still possible, but the 12s and the 13s are definitely a little bit worse than I think a lot of people would think they were going to be. And that means that the upsets are a little bit less likely, which is sad, but it is what it is. For the rest of the action, though, you had VCU who beat Dayton 68-62. They needed that one to really stay in contention for an at-large bid. It was huge that they got that win. Number 18, St. John's beat Seton Hall 72-65. Speaking of really needing that win, would have been a really nice win for Seton Hall to get. You can't get many wins over tournament teams in the Big East this year. It's really only St. John's, Villanova, and UConn, and St. John's is one of the better ones to get, obviously, and they just couldn't close the door on that, which would be nice if they could have gotten that win. Now they're still just right on the bubble, right on the cut line, frankly on the wrong side of it by a decent enough margin, but they're still there. Then you number 19 Miami of Ohio, they beat Ohio 110-108. I think that locks up a bid for them. I just really don't see how, even if they lose in the first game they play in the MAC tournament, 31-1, that can't be left out of the tournament. It is what it is. I don't think that I think that a lot of people are going to look at the record and, people that haven't watched college basketball this year and just kind of take them to win a game, no matter who they're playing against. I think it's matchup dependent. I think they are a really good team, actually, that probably, I think they're a team that the metrics don't like, just because without, if you don't beat every team on your schedule by like 30 or 40 with that level of a schedule, you're not going to be anywhere near the top 30 or 20 teams. I think they're not a top 20 team. I think the AP poll is a little ridiculous with that, but that's kind of what the AP poll does. But I also don't think they're a team in the 80s. I think they're probably somewhere in between that. I think they are a deserving tournament team, even if they don't win their conference tournament. But I think they should have the same outlook as a regular 10 seed or regular 11 seed. They could beat a 7 pretty easily. They could beat an 8 seed. I don't see them beating, a 1 or a 2 seed, but I do think that they could easily win a game. And if they do get a favorable seed, if they get a favorable seed, obviously, then, you never know what could happen. But moving on from that, on Saturday action, start with ranked games, move to conference tournaments later. But number 7 Houston beat Oklahoma State 82-75. They really made that game closer than it needed to be. Number 13 Virginia beat Virginia Tech 76-72. Number 20 Arkansas beat Missouri on the road in overtime without Darius Acuff, so a big win for the Razorbacks. Still, Missouri Could have used that one for tournament seeding. It would have been a really, really big one to get, but they couldn't just didn't quite eke that one out. Then you have Marquette, who beat number four UConn. I say that with shock and awe because Marquette sucks. To put it bluntly, they are not good this year. They have gotten really they've gotten a lot better towards the end of the season. I'll say that they're playing their best basketball right now, but Marquette, who is, I think, 11 and 20, yeah, 12 and 19 on the season, playing their best ball does not mean that UConn should be losing them. That's not a team that you should be losing to if you are contending for a one seed in the tournament. And frankly, UConn hasn't been playing like that for a while. They played with fire, they lost to Creighton. They played with fire again, they lost to Marquette. It's going to happen if they keep playing like this. And if they keep playing with their food, they're going to lose in the tournament pretty early too. They are playing much better teams than they play in the Big East, and the way that they play, not every game, but I mean, they'll do what they did to St. John's. They'll just absolutely wreck a great team, and then all of a sudden they'll turn around, barely beat Creighton. They'll lose to Creighton. They're barely beating Seton Hall at home. I don't understand how that's going to translate to be to playing actual tournament teams and winning those games, because if they play at the same level, a better team is going to beat you. Pretty simple, in my mind. But moving on from them, number six, Iowa State beat Arizona State 86 to 65. Number 14, Kansas bounced back from that loss to Arizona State, beat Kansas State 104 to 85. So big offense there. Louisville beat Miami, as we talked about in predictions. Vanderbilt beat Tennessee, as we talked about in predictions. An important bubble action, TCU beat Cincinnati 73 to 63. I talked about Florida State beating SMU already, but also in the ACC, Stanford went on the road and beat NC State 85 to 84. Texting friends about this. My bracket on Friday, the 16 teams that were in the last four byes, last four in, first four out, and next four out combined to go 4-11 over the weekend, with Santa Clara not playing as that conference tournament started, and we'll get Santa Clara in a second. But you can't do that. The bubble teams can't do that because then all of a sudden you have a team like Stanford who's sitting in the next four out, maybe even just in consideration territory for some people. I think they were my seventh team out of the tournament. And a road win over NC State, which is, I guess, near a quad 1A win. I don't know if it stayed in there or not based on NC State's resume, but all of a sudden that kind of a win, that puts you right on the cut line the way that the teams in the bubble have been playing. So a huge win for Stanford. Now they're one of maybe three teams in the ACC that will have their fate determined by the conference tournament. All three of those teams playing today between SMU, Virginia Tech, and Stanford, and also Cal, who has a shot, I guess, too. Definitely a little bit of a worse shot, but still a shot. Then you have Georgia who beat Mississippi State 102-96. Important for them to keep that single digit seed. Florida beat Kentucky, as we mentioned in predictions. I talked about Purdue being bad. Well, Wisconsin beat them 97-93. Purdue's fifth loss at Mackey. The last time they lost five games at Mackey, they went, I think, 16-15 overall, and it was 2019-20, where their streak of making the tournament would have been broken, but there was no tournament. They had no chance of making it that year, and they went 11-5 at home that year. That's pretty much the same home record they have this year. Pretty bad record at home for the Boilermakers, which is really disappointing for the preseason number one, even though I never thought they were the number one team in the country. And I was very, very loud about that, and I will take my victory lap on that when they lose in the second round of the tournament. Then you have George Mason. They beat number 25 St. Louis 86 to 57. St. Louis not looking hot at the end of the year either, frankly. Very important for them to, not mess around in the A-10 tournament, because there are losses bad enough in the A-10 that they could all of a sudden be playing a first four game in Dayton, after such a great start to the season. But if they just make it to the semis, if they lose to a VCU, a Dayton, even a George Mason again, as long as it's close, they'll be fine. They'll get a bye in the tournament. I feel pretty confident about that. Even if they do get it as like a 10 seed, they'll still get a bye. Then you have Utah State. They beat New Mexico 94 to 90. Close game on the bubble there. Talked about teams throwing it away on the bubble. New Mexico not necessarily throwing it away. That was a close game against the best team in their league. But Cal losing to Wake Forest on the road, something that you cannot do if you're the Golden Bears. In other bubble action, Ohio State beat Indiana 91 to 78. Ohio State all of a sudden capitalizes on a really weak weekend by the bubble, and they're all of a sudden pretty much a lock to be in the tournament. Indiana, on the other hand, pretty much right on the cut line. That was probably not the worst. That was not even close to the worst loss that a bubble team took this weekend. So don't really have an issue with that at all. Although, you'd like to have them not take that loss, but it is what it is. I mean, it's not really going to affect them. So it's an okay loss to take. Then you have number one Duke, who beat North Carolina 76 to 61. Of course, the important news for Carolina is that there is no Caleb Wilson in the postseason, which would be, I mean, it's a huge deal. He's their best player. So being down your best player in the tournament is just a massive, massive problem. But we'll see how UNC continues to fight through that. They've still been playing fine since he went out, but I just don't think they have any potential to make a deep run anymore, even if they can keep things, close, keep things respectable, win a game or two. I don't think that they're going to win many games. Maybe one. But moving on from Duke, you have the conference turn, or excuse me, no, I'll go with Alabama. They were number 16. They beat Auburn 96 to 84. Auburn continues to wreck their tournament chances by just continuing to lose games. Now in conference tournament action, the first bid punched, first ticket punched, first bid to the tournament, Tennessee State beating Morehead State 93 to 67 to win the OVC. They're likely a really low-end 15 seed or a 16 seed. Depends on who you ask, depends on how the rest of the conference tournaments shake out. Of course, I will be giving my bracket for that, and people can find that out. I'll probably have a real answer on them by Friday, honestly. But then you have UCLA. They beat USC 89 to 68. USC unraveling, not even worth talking about anymore. But UCLA with their second 20-point win of the week in a quad one game. So pretty good week for the Bruins when you talk about improving their seeding. Actually, USC has been so bad that they're actually not quad one anymore. But they're close to it. I think they might end up there anyway somehow. But then you have BYU, who beat Texas Tech, like we talked about in predictions. That was the final game that was relevant on Saturday, although a packed Saturday of games, a really fun Saturday. And then it was also a really fun Sunday. A lot of tournament tickets being punched, starting though with some conference action to wrap up Big Ten play. Number three, Michigan beat number eight, Michigan State, 90 to 80. These teams are at the peak of the rivalry right now, in the beginning of the Dusty May era, and not necessarily the end in terms of like his final season, but nearing the end of the Izzo era, in East Lansing. Michigan got swept last year. Michigan swept Michigan State this year. So 2-2 is the record between Izzo and May. Although you never know, they might face again in the conference tournament. Would be pretty entertaining. Would involve a lot of technicals. Would involve a lot of flagrants, just like Sunday did. But Michigan really wrapping up the number two overall seed there. I don't really see a path for them losing that, pretty much no matter what they do in conference tournament action. And then could get the number one seed if they win the Big Ten tournament and Duke falters in the ACC, depending on who they lose to, by how much, et cetera, et cetera. Then, speaking of conference tournaments, three bids punched. Northern Iowa beat UIC 84 to 69. This is a team that, despite me saying, Belmont lost and, we're getting some worse 12 and 13 seeds, this is not a team that that situation applies to. There are a lot of good teams in the MVC, and Northern Iowa, you can make the argument, has the right formula for an upset. They definitely have a chance to win a game in the tournament. Then you have High Point, who beat Winthrop 91 to 76. I think High Point is the only one seed to win their conference tournament so far. I could be wrong about that, but it feels like they are. They definitely were the one seed in that league. They're definitely the best team in that league. They're definitely the most talented. They're definitely going to be a 12 or a 13, and they're definitely going to have a chance to win a game in the first round. There are a few specific teams that I'm not going to get into now. I'll just wait till the bracket comes out. Talk about it on next week's podcast, but there are a few teams that I would definitely pick High Point over, and we'll just hope that they get a good draw and they're not playing a team like Kansas or something in the first round. But then you have Queens, who beat Central Arkansas 98 to 93 in overtime to punch their ticket, a big win for Queens, their first NCAA tournament appearance of all time. So massive win for them. And then finally, in some bubble action on Sunday night, Santa Clara beat Pacific 76-68 in the game that you definitely were not awake to watch in the quarterfinal. But in my opinion, this locked them into a bid as long as they don't lose to St. Mary's, which we'll get to what happened in that game in like 5 seconds. But Santa Clara, they could have been in Dayton if they lost to St. Mary's despite that win. However, Santa Clara won the WCC semifinals. They beat St. Mary's, who was currently ranked 21st, 76-60 to 71, excuse me. So 26-7 on the season, 15-3 in conference play. A 1-point loss to St. Louis in non-con play is one of their losses. This is a really good team. They shoot a lot of threes too, really capable of pulling off maybe, you know, an upset in a 7-10 type of game. But Santa Clara gets the win over St. Mary's. They'll play Gonzaga in the conference championship game, which means that that loss is not going to knock them out even if they take it. And frankly, they could beat Gonzaga and it wouldn't shock me. Gonzaga's beaten them twice this year, but both the games have been pretty close. So the Broncos could win again. For the first time in the season. We shall see. But in, you know, games that actually locked up tournament bids, Troy beat Georgia Southern in the Sun Belt. This is actually a one seed that won. That's the one that I was waiting on. 77-61, big win for Troy. They are also a team that I wouldn't be shocked if they pulled off an upset, although they might be a 14 seed, which makes it a little bit harder. I feel like the three seeds are pretty solid this year, but who knows? Maybe Nebraska has some curse on them that they can't win NCAA tournament games and Troy gets matched up with them and all of a sudden, here we are, Nebraska still hasn't won a tournament game. I don't think it's going to happen, but you never know. Troy, though, a very, very good team. They're also battle-tested. They played USC earlier on in the season. I think they lost in like triple overtime, one of the best games of the year, really, really early on. The list goes on and on. They play teams all year long. They play a good schedule, and they're battle-tested for sure. Then you have Furman, who beat ETSU 76-61. East Tennessee State was a one seed in that conference tournament, but not going to make the NCAA tournament. Furman takes the auto bid there. And then I talked about Santa Clara beating St. Mary. So, of course, the last one to mention is Gonzaga, who beat Oregon State 65-56 in the semifinals of their conference tournament, which meant that they advanced. And then the other auto bids that I didn't get to, I don't know why they just didn't pop up when I was looking for scores, but North Dakota State beat North Dakota to win the Summit League. And then LIU technically wrapped up their bid after winning the semifinals, but they also did win their conference championship. So the Northeastern Conference auto bid is LIU. And with all that, more than 20 minutes spent on college basketball, which is a lot, but it's worth it right about now. That will end this edition of the 4th and 24 podcast. Please be sure to check out our next podcast, which will be on Tuesday, March 17th, where we will once again talk about my weekend predictions and have our weekly review of the NBA and college basketball action. In the meantime, and actually we'll talk about the tournament because it'll be after Selection Sunday. We'll have the whole bracket out. And in the meantime, be sure to check out my picks for next weekend's games, which will be posted as always on Thursday. And my bracketology updates, which will come out Monday and Friday. Of course, now they will come out on Friday and then one final update on Sunday before the tournament committee, reveals their seeds. So all of that is on our social media handles, at 4th and 24. That's the number 4, THAND, plus the number 24. Thank you for listening.